WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present the Ivan Raiklin Report with retired Lieutenant Colonel of the Green Beret, Ivan Raiklin. Ivan served 25 years in the Department of Defense, Intel and Special Operations Communities, and DTRA as an enlisted officer, civilian contractor on active duty, reserves, and National Guard across 5 states. Most recently, he was an instructor at the Joint Military Intelligence Training Center, teaching the U.S. intelligence intel community and international partners about intelligence analysis, national security, and multinational operations. And now, here is your host, Ivan Raiklin.
Bear with me. Hey folks, Ivan Raiklin here with the Raiklin Report, and I'm actually concurrently, I thought to myself, why don't I just go ahead and do a Twitter space live while I'm doing the Raiklin Report on WVWTV.com, and I guess we'll go ahead and eventually get to the point where we're going to go ahead and live stream this on none other than Rumble Live. So with that said, as people are coming in here on the Twitter space, I'm not sure how many people are going to show up. I didn't really invite anybody, but whoever wants to come in and listen, please go ahead and do that. Hopefully at the end, I'm going to have a little bit of time to see if anybody has any questions. But with that said, let me go ahead and begin. I want to focus my show today on update on January 6th, particularly the government's role therein. So for those of you not familiar with my work, you can find some of the details on Substack. It's ivanraiklin.substack.com, where I go into some significant detail through my various Substacks of actual investigations of the different actors that were there that day from the government. So I break it down into different components. Number one being, you have to have a good understanding of the Capitol Police Board to understand the jurisdictional elements of January 6th and who was responsible for what in terms of the decision-making process all the way at the top, the political leadership. And then the next layer is the Capitol Police Board. And then beneath that are the different elements within the law enforcement community that would have made decisions on whether or not to facilitate the unlawful breach into the Capitol or actually conduct activity that is commensurate with your law enforcement duties, such as defending the Capitol and defending First Amendment peaceful election integrity rally attendees. Now, we know some folks did the latter, but at the top leadership level, all evidence shows that there was some sort of cover-up, and specifically, I have found no evidence whatsoever showing that the actions and decisions made by the senior leadership, the top two levels, were done in a fashion that you would expect for them to be able to defend the Capitol. Now, this is based off of research of a lot of information. I've read through all the transcripts, all the testimony, Senate and House, the whistleblower reports of senior U.S. Capitol Police officers, communicating with whistleblowers of the U.S. Capitol Police. Also looking at the body cam footage of the Metropolitan Police Department, looking at some of the CCTV footage of the United States Capitol Police that has been released not only publicly through different sources, but also through court, sitting in on different court cases and trials, whether it be some of the Proud Boys trials, the Oath Keepers trials, Proud Boys, and then other J6 defendants. So that in the collective, coupled with reading the book, several books, one by former U.S. Capitol Police Chief, Chief Sund was one of them. And then the book written by Acting Secretary of Defense Chris Miller, particularly Chapter 10. And then consuming all of the manipulated, doctored, and curated evidence that was laid forth by the 10 different J6 cover-up committee hearings that were created with the sole purpose of manipulating the country into believing one side of the argument, providing no opportunity for rebuttal or for context in order to be able to taint the jury pool so that they would be able to ignore the political leadership's role in January 6th, as well as to taint the jury pool in Washington, D.C., so that they could get a nearly 100, if not 100% conviction rate based on the manipulated court of public opinion that was provided with the J6 cover-up committee hearings, the manipulated, curated information that was allowed to be discussed, again, manipulated and curated by the FBI, and then when people wanted to convey factual, truthful information in person, then they weaponized the DHS to stop people from being able to travel the country to go ahead and showcase that evidence of a facilitated coup conducted by Pelosi and the political leaders of both parties. And then bottom line is it was cover up after cover up after cover up. So what did that look like? So here's my running hypothesis, and I've found it hard, or I should say I have yet to find any information and evidence from any single source, particularly any source that has significant credibility in the higher echelons that would have access to this information. The running hypothesis is as follows, and I'm going to go into details of the hypothesis. January 6th was the facilitated, intentional, unlawful entry into the Capitol so that the world would not see evidence of an illegally conducted and then subsequently illegally certified 2020 election. Because guess what, folks? Had that not occurred, you would have seen numbers of folks potentially sufficiently, if Kevin McCarthy did the 12th Amendment, one state, one vote objections, you would have potentially had enough people to contest and object to one, possibly two, actually one, likely two, and possibly three states were going to be objected to, triggering a 12th Amendment, thus creating the framework for a potential re-election of Trump and unfortunately failed Vice President Pence. But guess who probably were the actors that were participating in making sure that the objections would not be heard? Well, spring into action, the head of intelligence and interagency coordination department, a woman by the name of Yogananda Pittman, who never provided any intelligence that there should be additional security measures in place in order to protect and defend the Capitol. Next question is, why did she do that? I suspect that that was intentional so that there would not be a request and approval of additional external law enforcement entities on the Capitol grounds so that they would stop the breach of the Capitol, because they wanted to have the breach of the Capitol occur. U.S. Capitol Police Chief, even without that intel, was requesting on six occasions additional support to be able to provide the requisite defense of the Capitol. But instead, Yogananda Pittman intentionally said, didn't provide anything. And she basically, if you listen to the 6 hours almost of Ops One radio traffic, which I've listened to myself, at no point in time did she provide any support to the Capitol police officers that were asking for help and support. So not only did she stop any additional evidence to be used to be able to increase the security posture of the Capitol prior to January 6th, on January 6th, she was just sitting there watching and observing, almost as though she was just waiting for the right time to observe the video cameras from the CCTV footage and say, you know what? This is superb. We finally got the people that we want in the Capitol. Now we can criminalize all of them and we can stop the illegally we can continue with an illegally certified election and blame it on none other than all of those, quote, Trump supporters. This is important, folks. I need you to listen to this part specifically. This is where you need to understand and learn it. And any J6 defendant, anybody in the J6 community needs to understand this very well and articulate this to Kevin McCarthy, his general counsel, as Speaker of the House General Counsel and the U.S. Capitol Police Chief's General Counsel. This is the most important piece to understand why this is a political persecution, and the only way to unravel it is through a reversal of the political persecution, meaning we have to unravel it through the legislative branch and the mechanisms of the legislative branch. So what does that look like? Well, let's take a look and see at how everyone was prosecuted, or how that all started, the sequence of events and the chain of events. So, folks walked onto the Capitol grounds, okay? There was an outer breach conducted by Ray Epps and his team. Then, when there was sufficient number of folks after the second outer breach, the red smoke flare comes out, Ray Epps departs, John Sullivan picks up and takes tactical control over the crowd, and initiates the necessary movements in order to provide for the inner breach. Amidst all of that, you have Metropolitan Police Department officers coming into play and making many, at a minimum, mistakes by shooting into the backs of the U.S. Capitol Police, their particular CS gas, and they had nowhere to go because they didn't have masks on, so it broke the line. And then the people that were there in the front of the line also had to move forward because that was the only place they could go to seek oxygen. That irritated the crowd. Other instigators and agent provocateurs amidst all that milieu continue to escalate and incite the crowd to the point where you had folks coming in. That's what's going on the outside. I suspect that most of those individuals from the U.S. Capitol Police, if not all, did not know that there was an intentional breach that was being allowed from the leadership of the U.S. Capitol Police, namely the head of Intel. And there was another individual. If you read the 16-page whistleblower report that was published, I believe, in September of 2021, it outlines the culprits, but all roads lead to a woman by the name of Yogananda Pittman. Okay, so how is this possible, you may ask? Well, all law enforcement actions and activities, decisions rests with the Capitol Police Board, but it doesn't end there. This is how it looks. You have four members of the Capitol Police Board, three are voting members. So the three voting members are the ones that decide who the fourth non-voting member is. So here's what it consists of if you're not aware yet. You have the architect of the Capitol, who's appointed by the president, confirmed by the Senate. Okay. Well, this one at the time was appointed by President Trump. But he was, guess what? He was teleworking on January 6th. So he's not really in the picture in the decision-making process. And so his vote won't really count, right? And then you have the other two, which are the House Sergeant at Arms and the Senate Sergeant at Arms. The House Sergeant at Arms was appointed by Nancy Pelosi. Guess what? He was also there for Paul Ryan and John Boehner before her. And then the other voting member is the Senate Sergeant at Arms, appointed by Mitch McConnell. Okay, this is for January 6th. Well, guess what? Immediately the next day, the Capitol Police Chief, the two sergeants at arms are resigned. And then in the place of the resigned, if you will, Capitol Police Chief, Chief Sund, is placed the following day, Acting Police Chief Yogananda Pittman. Interesting that you have somebody that failed to disclose any intel about January 6th, complete failure coming from whistleblowers from within, when there was a vote conducted by the Capitol Police, what is that organization? There's a organization that represents officers of the Capitol Police. It's a union, and they had a 92% vote of no confidence of Yogananda Pittman. Folks, 92%. I don't know what organizations any of you work for, but if you have to where 92% of the force is basically voting that they have no confidence in the leadership of somebody that was just appointed and elevated from being the failed head of Intel and interagency coordination over to now the acting police chief. Well, guess what? That means that they were appointed in order to do a specific job, is my interpretation. Meaning, good job for allowing the breach of the Capitol occur, for the coup to be completed. And so now Nancy Pelosi, right, is now, remember, who's voting in this acting Capitol police chief? Because remember, it was never confirmed. So it must have been at the direction of the leadership of both chambers, both political parties, right? So what does that look like? Pelosi, obviously, as the speaker. And then there's this transition period of from January 8th to January 20th, where the Senate control moves from Senator Mitch McConnell over to Senator Chuck Schumer. So the reason why they're acting, because the votes aren't there, but yet they need somebody. And I would suspect that Nancy Pelosi, with the transitioning leverage of Senator Schumer, were the ones to place Yogananda Pittman in that role to provide the necessary person all the way till she's now returned back to the head of Intel and interagency coordination in July later that year. So from January of 2021, January 8th, through July 23rd, I believe, of 2021, Yogananda Pittman is the acting Capitol Police Chief. And in that role, guess what, folks? It is the U.S. Capitol Police that decides who committed a crime on the Capitol grounds on January 6th. And they have full discretionary authority on determining who gets the nice old criminal referral over to the Department of Justice. I'm going to say this again because it is so important. So, the U.S. Capitol Police Chief and the General Counsel of the U.S. Capitol Police are the ones that put together the criminal referral for whatever crime and transgression they want to criminalize, so that the Department of Justice can prosecute it. In addition, while the FBI was investigating the individuals that they were able to find evidence of for committing a crime allegedly related to January 6th, the FBI and the U.S. attorneys slash the DOJ was only able to access publicly available information as part of their investigation. When I say publicly available, and then also some of their methodology behind it. So what did they do? First, they scrubbed social media. And then the social media led to some more invasive tools at the disposal of the FBI. Granted, the only way that the Department of Justice, when I say DOJ, I mean the FBI, the U.S. attorneys, right? The National Security Division, etc., in the collective, the DOJ, as they're investigating these J6 cases. The DOJ is an executive branch entity. They are not able to, they do not house, own any of the U.S. Capitol Police footage. The only way that the Department of Justice can obtain that footage is to send over a request over to the U.S. Capitol Police to say, hey, we have Joe Smith, and Joe Smith or Jane Smith appears in social media posts to be doing this, this, and this. Can you provide us video evidence of this part of the Capitol at this time so that we can have more evidence to showcase what we allege to be the following alleged crime? And what is Acting Police Chief Yogananda Pittman, who is, if you take a look at her and you do a nice little link analysis and where her loyalties lie, let me just say this. Nancy Pelosi was making sure that she was in that position. And if you look at the relationships that she has, you'll understand why she made things happen the way that she made them happen. So what does that mean? So the FBI contacts the Capitol Police, acting Capitol Police Chief Yogi Adnan Pittman, and says, "Hey, can you provide the following video evidence? Let's just use, I don't know, possibly I'm saying, let's just use Defendant X." And when the Defendant X is looked at and the social media is scrubbed, because guess what? Under Yogananda Pittman, didn't we see a new entity and capability in the Intel and Interagency Coordination Department of the U.S. Capitol Police to start to surveil and identify who was meeting with which members of Congress? So what do I suspect happened? FBI puts in requests for defendants. The U.S. Capitol Police under Yogananda Pittman's leadership, or failureship, I should say, under her failureship, she went ahead and tried to identify who should be persecuted and prosecuted first based on matching who is associated with their political targets of which members of Congress they want to go after first and discredit, right, and defame. And then particularly those that were, if you can link somehow anybody that the FBI was looking into to Donald J. Trump, then I would suspect that the priority of the acting police chief Yogananda Pittman was to curate video evidence as it relates to those closest affiliated with Donald J. Trump and any of the members called out by the subsequent J6 cover-up committee to discredit them so that they could create the frame to punish President Trump and set it up so that he could not run again based on whatever they wanted to do. So what potentially happened with the video evidence that was obtained on particular individuals by Yogananda Pittman's Capitol Police? I wouldn't be surprised, I'm not saying that this occurred, but I wouldn't be surprised that when the FBI asked for video evidence of these J6 defendants, particularly those closest tied to President Trump, Oath Keepers, Proud Boys, etc., why wouldn't this Yogananda Pittman and her U.S. Capitol Police curate videos and only send over to the Department of Justice video evidence that made these individuals look like the worst people ever in the history of humanity? And so any evidence that would show entrapment, any evidence that would show defending oneself or others, any evidence showing excessive use of force by the Capitol Police or the Metropolitan Police Department, any evidence that would be exculpatory, if you will, as it applies to the J6 defendants, why would politically charged Yogananda Pittman provide that over to the DOJ if she doesn't have to, because she's the one that decides what is released and what doesn't? So why not doctor it in a fashion where you only provide incriminating, inculpatory evidence is on these J6 defendants, specifically those that are affiliated and associated with the narrative you're trying to present, meaning Orange Man bad, everything was a seditious conspiracy, and the seditious conspirators that they're going to lay that are going to be patsies for the real seditious conspirators, of which now I'm starting to sense it was Yogananda Pittman as well, they're going to divert the attention of the American media and the American public, and they're going to have FBI at their disposal to curate and manipulate the data that America sees on big tech. And they're going to showcase that, oh, Proud Boys, the worst people ever in the history of humanity. Oath Keepers, the worst people, the most violent people that never actually had weapons ever in the history of humanity. Proud Boys, the most violent protests ever in the history of humanity. It doesn't matter that they were peaceful in the sense that they, most of these J6 defendants were entirely peaceful. And it doesn't matter that none of them brought any sort of implements of war, as they call them. So they have to concoct different scenarios. I'll say this again. Is it a stretch? And you know what? I'm going to direct this to Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Mr. Speaker McCarthy. It would be nice if you leveraged your position of power to push back against Mitch McConnell, to push back against Chuck Schumer and their appointed Senate Sergeant at Arms. And then that if you push back against the United States Capitol Police Chief, who is the new one now, who replaced Yogananda Pittman, who was probably only placed in that position because he was told, you can be the Capitol Police Chief as long as you provide cover up after cover up for Yogananda Pittman. Don't say anything about her failures and then her cover ups and anybody else involved in that J6 seditious coup conducted by the political leaders, essentially a parliamentary coup that was conducted by the political leaders and then the Capitol Police Board, namely Yogananda Pittman that day as the inside, not inside man, inside woman, if that's what she thinks she is. So that's what I think has been going on. It's kind of a brief update, understanding what happened on the ground from looking at the body cam video from MPD, some of the CCTV footage from the U.S. Capitol Police, some of the whistleblowers, the testimony that was provided through the various trials, the transcripts of the interviews, individuals for the J6 cover-up committee, the 10 hearings, the 1,000 or so interviews that were conducted by the J6 cover-up committee. When you start to look into it, and the hypothesis is that some individuals were complicit in it, you notice that Nancy Pelosi was never questioned. Her chief of staff, Terry McAuliffe, was never questioned. Yogananda Pittman was never really forced into answering, why did she facilitate? Why did she do nothing as it applies to securing the Capitol prior to? And on the day of, she just sat idly by watching the breach occur. What happened to the pipe bomb at DNC and the RNC? Speaking of, it appears as though the unit that was deployed in order to respond to the RNC pipe bomb was the unit that would have provided early warning on the west side of the Capitol to let the Capitol Police leadership know that there was a big crowd. And so that even though it was set up so that no one, essentially the Capitol was laid barren so